Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime! We are back,
bitch.
Gang. Back in the B. Welcome to another episode of Animation. That power-up was too much for this show. We should have did my power from last week.
It's a lot of energy for this show.
Gave it too much energy.
Yeah, gave it way
Anybody
too
else
much
notice
energy.
That Keenan says, welcome to another episode as one word?
He's like, welcome to another episode.
He's like, welcome to another episode. Welcome to another episode.
I naturally speak kind of fast, and I try to slow down for the podcast, and I know I probably still speak fast.
Keenan got bars, y'all.
Twister.
Yeah, he's twisted over here.
All right. Woof. All right, man.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
The end. Well, not the end of Evangelion, because that's a whole other movie. But
yeah.
The
yeah.
end
which,
of the
which
TV
I'm not
show.
Fucking watching.
Yeah, and there's people that defend this, and they. Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll get into it, because this was a lot. Like, yeah. I don't even think we can. I mean, we're just gonna have to talk about the first four episodes, because I don't even. We'll just have to discuss the concepts of the last two. There's no way to discuss.
Yeah,
no like any sort of narrative structure.
I was actually really
in the last
excited.
Two.
Like, how is Rob gonna describe?
And we
this?
Can and we can we can float through these. We don't have to spend a whole bunch of time.
Yeah,
because I think we're gonna be discussing more about like what the fuck.
Yeah, the
concepts. That's gonna be more if anything.
Yeah, because I was watching those last two episodes like shit. I played myself. Like I don't know how I am gonna explain these last two. This is insane. But yeah, just getting right into it. These episodes kick off with right where they left off. This first one's kind of a flashback episode, but it starts with Misato hearing out that Ryoji's missing. And they're like, "Yo, where's your guy? Like, he's out of pocket. Where the fuck is he? You're his main contact. So as long as he's missing, we're putting you into lockup too."
Yeah.
Turns out he's basically put the second in command, the gray haired dude, in front of Seal this council. But now instead of the big light up platforms, they're these big black like obsidian. And like pyres or whatever the fuck they are.
Right.
They look like tombstones to me.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think in a way they sort of represent death, but we'll get to that.
Yep.
So they're basically questioning him like, yo, how did Nerve get started? And then that brings us all the way back to like 15, 20 years ago. And it turns out this dude was a teacher of Shinji's mom who
professor.
Is... professor for her, and he like saw some of her research, and they kind of like hint at what that could sort of be.
Oh, it's like you laughing. The only reason I specified that is because that gives you age range. That's it. Because if you say teacher, she could have been, been elementary school teacher of her.
Yeah.
You say professor, you know that junk is college. So I'm just saying she was an adult.
You got
she was writing her dissertation.
Yeah. That's important. Exactly. That's important for context.
Doctor.
I agree.
She's a doctor, and he's like looking at her work. And he's just like, this is interesting. I don't know if I agree with all of it, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, well. Like, how'd you meet Gendo then? And he's like, oh, well, I bailed him out of jail, basically. Like, he got into a bar fight, and like we met up, and then it turns out that Gendo and this girl, Yui, who's Shinji's mom, get together, and he's just like, you're with him? Like, this guy's that nobody likes? And she's like, no, I think he's charming. But turns out they've got some interesting point of views on the human condition that kind of allow them to, I guess... merge their work together.
Merge their bodies.
Theme for today, the human condition.
Yeah, exactly. So, kind of fast forward a bit. The second impact happens. The world goes to shit. And
It gets hot as fuck.
Oh,
like it is right now.
Like, pretty much. All the polar ice caps melting, all that shit.
I mean, we're close.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Like, half of humanity's wiped out. Like, it's just endless summer. They're talking about, like, there are no more seasons on planet Earth anymore.
Yeah.
Is it in Tokyo, too, right now?
I think so, which is basically just a bunch of boats on water.
Right.
And this professor is now, like, some back alley doctor.
Yeah.
We're back to that.
Back alley?
Again.
Back alley doctor.
So, while he's doing that work, he basically gets an invite from Gendo to meet up with him in Antarctica, where what's left of it. So he goes down there, runs into Gendo, and he's just like, oh, by the way, my last name's Akari now. I took my girl's last name, which is, you know, pretty progressive of him, actually, if you think about it.
Right, some Brennan-ass shit.
I mean, Rob, you have that choice.
I could. Probably not gonna. But so they're talking about that, and he's just like, oh, yeah, like, I just happened to get out of Antarctica, like, the day before and happened to have all my research. research, and the professor's like, hey, that's pretty fucking convenient.
Yeah.
And he kind of finds out a little bit more about what happened there. And I think even the pre-roll before the theme song on this episode is kind of seeing like found footage of what happened during the second impact.
Right.
And they had basically tried to use the spear to put it in Adam, and it caused this huge fucking explosion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this guy takes his research and puts it out in front of him, and it's just like, you knew this was going to happen.
Look at this shit.
You got out of here. Here's the evidence.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient that all your research made it out with you, huh?
Huh.
Yeah. It's almost like you knew that would happen.
Yeah, isn't that weird? He's like, also, I noticed you got a bunch of money in your bank accounts.
Right.
I know you got a kid now, but
you don't need that much fucking money.
Right. Yeah, and so that's kind of when Gendo seems to be like, all right, I'm going to let you in on some stuff. And so he takes him down and shows him underneath Tokyo 3 what we now know is the geofront, but they refer to it, this whole thing is like the dark moon, mm-hmm. with the base being under Antarctica as the light moon. Mm-hmm. Or the white moon or something like that. Anyway, so then we kind of switch to a different point of view where we kind of see it from the doctor, I think, the doctor. You kind of see flashbacks from her point of view with her mom and like
she's the blonde chick who like helps fix the Magi and understands them the best.
Yeah. So we see a little bit of the formation of the Magi. We see her and
which was cool, actually.
Yeah. And like that's got a whole thing like breaking down like her mom's mind into like the super ego, the ego and the id. And
yeah,
like,
the mom.
Purple hair and stuff.
Yeah, she got a dye job somewhere along the way. And it turns out that like she also sees that not only are, you know, Ryoji and Misato, they're in their relationship, and you kind of see them split off, even though she's like, no, they love each other, but they're just like, they can't stop hurting each other. So
they love each other, guys.
They do. How about that?
How about that?
I know,
Brennan.
I don't know what to tell you. It's not like I guessed it or anything, you know. It's like I don't know how that happened. That's so crazy. It's like I didn't understand the dynamics.
This is their thing. Somebody was right.
Sort of.
Yeah. Not even.
No.
You want to give him that?
All right. No, not at all.
Well,
hey,
anyway,
man, look, the facts speak for themselves.
We'll circle back around to that because I got points about that. Anyway,
you can bring it, motherfucker.
I'm not even talking about. Well, I think it's different than you think it is.
Okay. Good.
So
better be.
So we sort of see through that she's now getting involved with Nerve, and even though before it's Nerve, and so Sinji's dad is having an affair with her mom,
which is wild. Yeah. His wife. Yeah. The wife die thing and
because you see a short scene where right before Sinji's mom disappears, Sinji's there. They're putting her in the Eva for the first time, and then she just disappears.
Yeah. Just like Shinji did that one time earlier on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Primordial soup
down into the LCL. So then we fast forward a few years and. Gendo shows back up to work, but this time he's got Rei with her. And they're like, oh, you brought your kid, but I thought you had a son. He's like, oh, no. This is my friend's kid.
Friend's kid.
Didn't cover it up good at all.
No. Yeah, that was terrible. He had all that time to think of a lie, and that's what he came up with.
Exactly.
He used none of that time.
As you're creating this little child, you could have been putting her whole backstory, which you...
He's like,
you could have been putting bullshit into the system and saying some shit that didn't make sense. I mean, not make sense, but like made up a backstory.
Because they went to look for her, and they're just like, there are no files. Yeah. So it's not like he put fake files out there. There's just nothing, which is almost way more suspicious.
Right.
This guy's he's a smart idiot.
So he's having an affair with her, but while she's finishing up the Magi, like the day she finishes up, she's talking with her daughter, and like they're kind of having a, I don't know, congratulatory talk that her work has been finished. And then little Rei shows up behind her, and this little demon child,
little shit face.
For me, I'm just like, she
thought Asuka was bad.
I don't blame her for this. I say that she repeats what she heard.
Kids do that.
Yeah, that's
she's
true.
Like, you're a hag. And he's like, wait, that's not very nice. He's like, well, that's just what dad says.
That's what Gendo calls you.
You know, the guy that you're dating and seeing and all those things?
That's fucking you.
He calls you a hag.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't need you anymore. And so she fucking snaps chokes the shit out of Rei.
She Homer Simpson the fuck out of her.
As
an adult, the fact that you can't keep your cool because of a child.
Yeah.
And to choke a child out, I understand kicking a child. I understand maybe smacking a child. Those things make sense. But to choke a child and then to hold your hands around their throat.
She had some other stuff embedded. Not doesn't make it okay. Not at all. I'm not vouching for child choking, but child strangling.
I mean, and then, but then again, too, she's not really a child.
Right.
No. No.
So, I mean, I guess it's okay then.
But she didn't know that. She was in the mindset
that it was a child.
That it was a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she was hurt so much that you know, came.
I was like, I'm watching this whole thing. I'm like, Shinji's dad, he just keeps going to different levels of ancientness.
Oh, yeah. And he's not done.
Yeah, it's
funny. He's not done.
One thing I will say that I internally predicted incorrectly was Shinji's dad. Like, I thought that we saw him in the beginning, he was trash. And
there was a reason for the madness or something?
Yeah, I was like, there's a reason for it. There's a justification for it. Yeah. Like, this guy is going to evolve. We're going to see character development here.
He's like the Billy Mays of being trash. Like,
there's more. But I say the thing is, there actually was character development with him, but it went in the opposite direction of what I expected.
Negative character.
Yeah, he became worse and worse and worse the more we got to know him and like his history. Just like, this guy is literally cancer.
But, I mean, I think she literally killed Ray here. I mean, I think this is the first time Ray dies.
Yeah. She said she died 3 times.
Because that's the third. Yeah. She was like, I'm the third.
She's the third one. And the second one comes a little bit later. But I think she kills this girl and then kills herself. She jumps and like hits her head on. We were talking about this. It sounded like it was a gunshot or something.
Yeah.
I think she commits suicide after killing this child.
I think possibly, but I still say that there's a possibility that Shinji's dad came and like saw what happened.
I think it's possible too.
I was just looking at because you know the image they showed it multiple times of like her body. And then there's a chalkboard line. And then there's like a spray of blood.
But there's blood like up on top.
Yeah.
So
it's going up.
She shot herself.
So I thought she like hit the back of her head on that thing and just.
I thought she got shot from behind and it sprayed. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Either way,
she did.
It got to the same point.
She did.
She's dead.
Yeah.
The outcome was the same.
So that pretty much concludes the flashback. And as we get back into modern times,
And there was a gunshot sound.
I thought I was re-watching it recently, and it's not quite gunshot. It sounded kind of wet, like something hit the ground.
Yeah,
but. It's weird. It's neither here nor there.
Okay, all right, yeah,
but,
whatever.
But she's dead. And so we get back to the present, and Ryoji is breaking the second-in-command out, and he's just like, you know, they're going to kill you for this. And he's like, yeah, probably. And, I mean, that's basically what happens after that. Like, Ryoji shows up, and you don't see it. You only see it from the point of view of the guy that kills him, and he's like, oh, like, good to see you. What took you so long? And then cuts to black, you know, Soprano style, as, you know, the gunshot goes off. And then
I was sad.
Yeah, that was like, I wasn't sad, but I was like, at least he waited for it. He went out like a G.
He knew what was coming.
Yeah,
he knew what was coming from a mile away.
He took the job.
Yeah,
he knew it was up.
He knew what
ran away.
Was going into. Yeah, he could have, but he didn't.
I would have run.
Yeah, I would have.
He probably just knew like
you're
wherever
a coward,
he's
Brennan.
He's getting hunted. You know.
I'm just saying.
So before he does that, he must have, you know. Before he went out to do his last thing, he leaves a message for Misato, and she listens to it, and he's like, if I ever see you again, I'll tell you those
words
I
was
too
said.
Scared to tell you before. So, all right.
That's how you play with those heartstrings, bro.
That's love. Yeah, for death. You die and I leave you. Oh,
so you never going to not think about this girl.
He's asking a piece of shit for that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Because now, for the rest of her life.
She got to think about that.
Dog.
I'm not even mad at this.
That's some Brennan-ass shit.
That is some Brennan shit. I want all my ladies to think about me the rest of my life.
I want
keyword
my
all.
Experience with you to echo through you for eternity.
Oh, even when she's sleeping with another man.
I'm going to ruin you, girl.
Thinking of Brennan blowing his own or getting killed. And I should have, the last words I should have said to you, you're a piece of shit, Brennan.
Piece of shit. You
look,
ain't
man,
shit,
You guys, look.
Like, you're not even denying it.
All
like I'm
the saying
is
method,
that.
Tried and true.
And all I'm saying is that one thing that most humans concern themselves with is legacy. And how they'll be remembered.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
and how they'll be remembered. And I'm just saying, this
you
man
know
has
hilarious.
Foresight.
And you'd rather fuck up a lady's psyche and to have a legacy.
I get
I'm not saying,
a little bit on this. I kind of get him in this.
I'm just saying, it's like, I don't want to be forgotten.
His
like,
memory won't ever die because she's going to pass that memory on to her kids.
Yep.
She's going to be on some Titanic shit. Like,
Brennan,
oh,
I'm sorry,
remember
man.
Back
I
in the day.
I get it, man.
Thank you, Keenan.
I get it.
Thank you, Keenan.
I'm not agreeing.
You got one day left, fam. It's like, what else you going to do? Like,
it ain't one day left. It's like,
I'm going to live forever.
Right.
I'm gonna
like, oh my
like,
God.
You know what? You
then
get it,
you,
girl.
You say something to the corporation and make sure they do something. You don't
no,
fuck
they
up
gonna
her.
Do
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Trust the psychopath.
Exactly.
You ain't gonna fuck up your whole, that
nah,
girl's
man.
Psyche. And once like, she kill herself,
they gonna make up their own backstory and say you were some type of.
You may live on forever.
At least you let. It's, bad
live forever in a woman's heart.
Publicity.
You, the corporation name is going to hang your jersey in the Raptors.
So you rather have a fuck up a girl's mental state.
I don't see the thing is I would argue that like the intention wasn't to fuck it up. Like he wasn't trying to say that to fuck her up.
No,
he was saying it
so.
To be remembered.
Yeah, it wasn't malicious,
but
still,
I'm saying, no, it's better than saying nothing, Ice. No. Where she's just wondering. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He gave her what she wanted.
She said, but he didn't even say it.
And he also didn't know for a fact that he was going to die. He was like, I'm probably going to die. So I don't want to say, hey, I love you. I hope we're sweet together. He's like, no, if we meet up again and it's a possibility, then I'm going to say something to you that we should talk about. Like this is the thing. And like,
he was fucking going. That's why he stayed.
I don't think that act was malicious. That's it.
I didn't think he had malicious intent.
But that's what you're saying. You would fuck her up? Like, I don't think he was trying to fuck her up.
But you know, you saying that. And doubling down like, oh yeah, that's some me shit. I would do that so I can live on forever.
But it wasn't saying it because of your reaction. I was saying because of what it was. There's a very big difference there, Ice.
No,
it was what he said.
You're saying it from a malicious standpoint.
I'm not saying it from a malicious standpoint.
You're gonna live with me forever, girl. Like,
yeah, that's legacy. Like I said, everything I said I just described. I was like, legacy. Like, remember me.
We got so much other shit to talk about that is way worse.
Yeah, it's way bigger than this. It's to clean it up. I feel like everybody wants somebody to always remember them when it comes to being loved like that. I feel like everybody does.
Yeah.
Whether it's an ex-girl or a current girl or a wife, you want that, or a husband, whatever, you want that person to always remember. I want that burn in their head forever. So,
I want you guys to remember this.
Well, Misato wasn't the only one he fucked up.
I want y'all to remember this forever. I just have one thing, quick thing to say. Keenan, I agree with you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Thank you. That don't make you more right. The fuck?
It's just a big moment in the show. That's all.
It is. It doesn't happen often.
It's the biggest moment in this whole show.
It's a solar eclipse. So this next episode starts off with a flashback because the other person that's fucked up by Ryoji going away is Asuka.
That man.
And so we see her trying to get up on this guy, and like, I'll give him credit here. He's just like, no, like, you are a child.
Yeah. He's good at the cold, get away from me. Like, he's so good at it.
This is when I remember my mom told me as a kid, watch out for these fast-ass little girls. These fast-ass little girls. Mm-hmm. She was fast, boy.
She was.
And maybe for her reasons, because she had some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
When she rolled on top of him, I'm not like, staying there.
Yeah.
I'm aggressively pushing you off me.
Right. It's like, I'm going to bed and deadbolting this door behind
That's
me.
Exactly.
And she's just flashing, like, oh, look
she
at
got
me,
the
I'm
bangs
a woman.
Out.
I'm
yeah.
like, oh.
Come on,
But he
bro.
Even said, you're not even of age. So he basically... When you turn 18, I'm with the shit.
I felt a little quagmire. Yeah. I did. He was like, Meg, 18 yet? I got one of those feelings from like when you're 18.
Maybe a little bit.
Come back for the dang.
Y'all just reaching for the hate.
That's not a reach.
My man did the right thing.
He did.
He did the right thing. Ain't nothing else to it. We're moving on.
Yeah. Anyway, so we do get a bit of Asuka's backstory here where we find out that we already knew she had some dark shit going on, but it turns out that her mother, who was also part of this whole nerve experiment and being part of having her soul put in an Eva and all this shit, it basically drives her insane. And her father is driven away from that and ends up having an affair
with the doctor
taking care of her, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it totally warps Asuka's mind. And it's just like, this is what women are good for. Like, I need to be a woman. I don't want to be hurt because that's what men are going to do to me. And it just fucks with her. So that's how Asuka gets to where she is now. She's just like, men are trash.
You know what? Yeah. I can't say I hate her as much because, like,
she's still one of my least favorite characters.
Yes.
I would agree with that. But I'm looking at the psychological standpoint, and you even look at just that in real life, in our lives, and probably dealing with women that we probably dealt with, some shit they probably been through. I'm like, dog, she didn't have a chance, bro.
Yeah, she didn't.
She didn't have a fucking shot.
No. Yeah, she's pretty much like, it was done from her dad. Her, I mean, it's talking about trash dads. Yeah. Her dad is fucking trash.
You can move on. I understand death. You're still young or you still have your life. Cool. But she's still alive.
She's still there.
She's still alive. Yeah. She might not be there mentally, but she's still there.
And the doctor's just like, oh, I'm going to be your new mom, and telling her, like, I can stop being your mom whenever I want. And just like, so to.
That's fucked up.
So she basically cuts herself off emotionally because she doesn't want to deal with that.
When you have a step parent, that's always one of the worst. When you have a parent that either remarries, gets with somebody else, and you have that parent, that step parent that comes in and is supposed to play the role, and they come in and be a piece of shit like that and play with your emotions. That is probably one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah.
You're already missing a parent.
Right.
And then you have
especially if it's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a substitute. Substitutes, you look at substitutes, they're all supposed to be fun, right? As a substitute teacher, they come in there. We playing a movie today. Yeah. Cool. I love substitute teachers.
Right.
This bitch comes in and she's horrible.
Yeah,
she's
comes in with work.
Yeah. Yeah. We're doing assignments. Yeah.
You know, just drops the handouts on the table. Like, welcome to this.
Yeah, substitutes.
We're doing worksheets today.
Exactly.
And if you fuck up, I'm telling your teacher when they get back.
Exactly. Your job is supposed to roll that big ass TV in. We're supposed to watch some dope movies. Right.
Exactly.
And that's the end of it.
That was the best substitute. The worst thing in the world is when a substitute teacher shows up.
Oh, we're just
like,
going to continue the rest
like,
of
you guys,
what we were doing.
I remember one time in particular, I remember that a substitute teacher walked in and had like this, like these things that she wanted us to do. She's like, do you guys have a copy machine? And we were all like, no.
No.
There's no copy machine in this entire school.
Sorry.
Like, it does not exist.
Budgets. Crazy.
We ain't here to work today. It's a day off. It's a free day.
It's broken.
But, like, the crazier thing that happens with the suit is basically your mom seems to be aware of this on some level and it's just like, all right, well, I'm checking out of this thing and I'm going to try and take my daughter with me. And it's just like, all right, like, join me. Join me in death. And she comes home and finds her mom hanging from the ceiling. And it's like, if that doesn't fuck you up, I don't know what will.
So now you wanted your daughter to...
Because she thought that doll, she had a doll.
Yeah.
And she thought the doll was her daughter and she kept talking to her. And she would, but she would acknowledge Asuka, though. She would be like... Oh, you see the little girl out there? You gotta grow up to be like her. And it's like.
But that's the thing. You understand Asuka didn't have a shot, bro.
Yeah.
Dog, your mom thinks the fucking dummy is you?
She's just. It's nothing but trouble. But so we that brings us back to current day where, you know, Shinji in 01, that's still a problem. So he's not out. Like he can't go out on the field. Another angel shows up. And the other thing with Asuka is her like her synchronization levels are going down and down and down. And they're all kind of looking at each other like, if this gets any worse, we're going to have to cut her.
Yeah.
And like this, she said from the beginning, this is her identity.
Yeah.
Like
this is all she has.
This is it.
Yeah.
So that's fucking with her mind. She knows what's going on. She knows her days are numbered. And this angel shows up and they're like, all right, Ray, you're taking point. Asuka, back her up. And Asuka's like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm taking the point.
Right.
And they're like, all right, well, like, I guess let her have her last shot. And if this doesn't work out, let's pull the plug on that.
And she even knew it. She's like, this is my last shot.
Yeah.
This is all I got.
Yeah. So she goes out there, and there's this angel in orbit, and they're like, it's way too far out of there. We're going to be trying to use these big sniper things. They don't have the energy to hit it, but Asuka's like, fuck that. I'm shooting anyway. Yeah. Then this thing hits her with a blast of, like, psychic energy that basically forces her to relive all of her past trauma, and it fucks her up.
Dog.
Yeah. So she's screaming, and it's just like, oh, everything's going crazy. They're trying to cut her off from her connection. They're just like, Ray, get in there. Fucking figure something out.
Right.
Ray hits the thing, but it's not powerful enough to break through, and they're like, all right, go get the spear.
I feel like this is a bad, like, this is why I don't ever want to do, like, certain type of drugs. I feel like this would be the trip I'll have.
Yeah.
You know, people be like, you might have a bad trip.
You could.
Yeah. This right
what,
here?
Yeah, I feel like that's where to go to.
Yeah. No way.
No fucking way.
So Ray goes and gets the spear while Asuka's still going through all this crisis, and she takes a spear and she throws it through, and it destroys the angel.
She javelin the fuck out that spear.
Yeah, she fucking did. That was an Olympic level throw. So she takes out the angel, but Asuka's she's fucked up beyond repair. Like she's done.
Fubar.
Yeah.
I just realized something.
What's up?
Hilariously.
What's that?
So Rob and I watched a couple episodes together.
Yeah.
We accidentally skipped an episode when we did that.
Yeah.
I just found out which episode that was.
Oh, because I went back and watched it. You didn't watch this one?
Oh, I'm over here like, because I was like, in later episodes, I was like, how did they're like, yeah, that spear got is gone. I was like, how the fuck did this spear
go?
You guys over here like, and then she threw the spear in this psycho thing. And I was like, why isn't she piloting?
You ain't shit, Brennan.
But to me, this is one of the moments where I was like, are this show? Because at this point, before this point, actually, this show was worse than Gangsta to me.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says, it was worse than Gangsta. Mm-hmm. Ice was saved at that point. Right? Picking the worst anime out of all these.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then these few episodes right here that we watched, I was like, all right, this little moment was kind of tight when she did that. It looked dope. It was a dopey anime.
The animation was pretty cool.
Yeah. And keep going.
Well, so the next episode, this one's all about Rey as another angel shows up. Rey's, always going through, like, a crisis of, like, who the fuck am I sort of thing. And we figure out why this episode.
Yeah.
So another angel shows up, and it's this giant halo of light. And they're like, all right, Ray, you're going up. Check the shit out. Figure out what's going on. And as the attack's happening, this thing, it breaks up. It turns into this, like, just beam of light that attacks her. And it starts to merge with her Eva and starts merging with her. Mm-hmm. And she has this, like, psychic episode where it's kind of like the angel's talking with her, and it's just like, why don't you merge with me? Like, let's join together. Like,
and it's also an image, like it does a reflection thing where it's like an image of her looking at her, talking to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Am I you? Or am I me? Am I you?
Yeah.
You know?
She doesn't know who she is, which we find out why later. So this is all going on, and while this is happening, they're just like, all right, the ban is lifted on 01, so like, get him up there. So he goes up there, and he's just like, oh, shit. He tries to go in and save Ray, but then the angel attacks him.
Mm. One thing I will give Sinji, he's still a bitch, but he actually wanted to go, and I'll give him that.
Yeah, he wanted to save Ray.
I give him that.
Yeah.
Ray's a homie.
He looks out for his fellow pilots. Yeah. So he goes up there, and he's trying to help her out. This thing starts to affect him, and Ray basically, she makes the sacrificial play.
Yeah.
And she's just like, no, I got this. She yanks it back, kind of like yanks the angel into her, and they're like, yo, get out of there. And she's just like, nope, like I'm activating self-destruct. And
she's like, if I leave, the AT field doesn't stay active and blah, blah, blah. So I have to be here for this to die.
Yep.
And it
was spooky. Oh, you probably know about this.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, no, you can take this one.
Oh, yeah, she just turns into a big fucking version of herself. Like, and that was weird to me.
That was, it's fucking wild.
That was kind of creepy. And she just blows up.
When that happened, I just out loud, I was like, fuck.
I didn't, I was just like, oh, she's not going to die.
What?
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So immediately they launch their, you know, containment containment group that's like, all right, get out in the field and like clean this shit up.
Yeah.
And you see her hand, like her burn ass hand sticking out of there. And they're like, all right, this is confidential immediately.
Yeah.
Sinji's back in his apartment talking with Misato, who's also dealing with her shit. And he's just like, I want to cry, but the tears won't come. And then they get the phone call like, hey, Ray's in the hospital and she's doing okay.
It's like how? How, Sway?
What? So they show up, and yeah, she doesn't remember anything, but she's like, yeah, I guess I'm okay. And he's like, you saved me. She's like, yeah, I saved you. I guess I did.
Yeah.
She came through with the slick rig, had the eye patch on. Yeah. Shit.
So after we learn what we learn about her, I think it's really interesting that you see Ray have all these, like she has injuries when she's in the hospital. That's unnecessary, isn't it?
Like, seems like it.
Yeah,
I feel like they did that. Like they purposely injured her and then put her in the hospital.
Or maybe she wasn't injured
about
at all.
Yeah,
and they just, you know,
put bandages on the top.
Yeah,
but there was blood on the pillows and stuff. Like every time like something happened, there'd always be blood. So like I feel like, you know, probably just because of who the character is, Shinji's dad just is like, all right, well, let's make this look real. Yeah, come here.
We got to get in there and fuck her up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's not enough blood. Give me that.
When she was in the Eva, she was crying. And that was her first time crying.
And she's just like, oh, what are these tears?
Yeah,
because that comes up later when she gets home and she's like kind of taking everything in. Mm-hmm. And she starts to cry and she's just like, these are the first tears I've ever had, but I remember this. How can I remember this? And it's just, so what goes on from there is they want to, the council wants to question Gendo, and he refuses, and he's basically like, no, take the blonde doctor.
Yeah.
And they wanted to question Ray.
They wanted to question Ray, and they put the blonde doctor.
Oh, yeah, because he's just like, oh, if they find out Ray's still alive, like, they're going to be pissed. Because the seal at this point is just like, what the fuck is Gendo doing?
Right.
Yeah. And he's just like, I don't know. Like, ooh, I'm busy right now. Ooh, we keep missing each other. So he basically sends the blonde doctor in his place, and they like strip her naked and are just like, no, you're going to answer us like this. And just so you know, Gendo is the one that put you in this
position. Just for the record, they're like, sorry if this makes you uncomfortable. She's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm straight.
I can't do no
this.
Big deal. Like, don't worry.
Titties out.
Don't worry. I'm having sex with Gendo. Like,
yeah. Which she knows her mom had an affair with this dude. Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck?
How many times have somebody fucked the mama and the daughter? Like,
I'm just saying, like, straight up, Gendo.
That's crazy.
Gendo represents, like, when you guys want to talk about Me Too and, like, horrible shit, like, Gendo is the person we should be talking about.
I can see that. He's using people for sure.
He's using his position of power. His knowledge of the Evas and the angels.
They were even saying his first wife, they were like, maybe he's just using her to get close to Seal.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it seems like this guy from the get was a horrible dude.
He's 100% of a piece of a shit. I don't know if I ever seen anybody worse than him besides the dude from Fullmetal Alchemist.
He's the scientist.
But this nigga's he's a close second. Yeah. He's like neck and neck.
They go back and forth.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a close game.
Pretty much.
Pretty bad.
So she goes through the questioning, and then she's just like, all right, Gendo, like, you're going to do that to me? Like, cool. I'm gonna show some of your secrets off. And she basically...
Snitch!
So Misato gets Sinji out of the apartment, and they meet up with her, and she's just like, oh, cool. Like, you guys want to come with? Because I'm about to do some shit in the first place. Like, come and check this shit out.
Because her car doesn't work. And then she comes behind her with the pistol. Yeah.
Yeah, Misato's just like, oh, I got you. Swipes her card, opens right up. And so they go down, and she's just like, all right, you want to see where Ray comes from? Check this shit out. And opens up a giant fucking fish tank full of rays.
Full of rays.
And they all look over. It's that moment, for me, was the creepiest moment of this whole show, was when they all like turn in unison and look.
And they're smiling.
And then they're all smiling. It's like, Ray doesn't do that.
Right.
Ray doesn't smile and laugh. Like, no. They all are smiling and laughing.
Yeah. And that's the first time they were showing like nipples and stuff. I thought they was...
There was literally nothing sexual about it.
Yeah.
No.
And it was so creepy. Yeah. And it was just like... you look like it's a dummy. You saw it was a dummy. You saw it didn't have any life or soul in it. And it was just weird.
And that's what she says. Like, this is the dummy plug program. Whenever we're plugging a dummy plug in, like, we're using one of these. And it's basically because Ray is a child soldier type thing that they can just implant, like, all their orders on. Because they know that she'll follow it to the letter with no question.
Yeah. Right.
So... She's just like, you know, fuck Gendo, fuck all this shit. Like, he fucked my mom, he fucked me over. Like, delete! Fucking control alt delete then! And she just fucking dissolves all these rays, and they're just like, what the fuck?
Rob said control alt delete.
That's hilarious. You fuck my mom!
You fuck me?
You fuck me?
You fuck everyone!
So then the final episode that really has any sort of narrative story making sense is...
Yo, this episode
is crazy.
This episode.
So, at this point, Seal and Nerve are completely divided, and they're like, "All right, fuck Gendo." Like, even before we get to that, like, Asuka is AWOL. She's gone. Yeah, she's been fired. Yeah. They find her in a bathtub. She's been missing a week. She's not been eating or sleeping or any of that shit.
Yeah, she looked bony as fuck.
She's not good. She's not good.
No.
So,
and they purposely let her go. Like. They could have found her a lot quicker, but they didn't want to, and they kind of wanted her to off herself.
Yeah, and they basically say that. Yeah. It's just like, they kind of just like let her string her along to fuck with us at Nerve.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, all right, well, the council's sending this new kid, the fifth children, so when he gets here, I guess we'll meet him. And Shinji meets him first because he's out there like kind of just like, I don't even know who to talk about this whole Ray thing with. Yeah. And then this guy's just like, hey there, guy. Like, why so glum? Like, don't be so gloomy.
Sitting on the rock.
Don't be such a gloomy Gus.
Oh, Kawari.
Hey, man.
Kawaru,
I really liked
him. That's
them.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
everything that dude said was the realest. Yeah. Everything he said was the realest.
He struck me the wrong way.
I thought it was weird that he was so, like you know, he was so warm to Ryoji from the beginning.
Yeah.
Their whole dynamic was weird, too. And that was like,
he was feeling them, right?
Yes. I think 100%. A little bit, yeah.
I think he was in the space to be like, whatever it is that you're looking to have. In a connection with somebody, I'm down for it. Like,
and this is also the first person I think I think Shinji was feeling him a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think this is also the first person that has from the get-go been like, hey, dude, like, it's nice to meet you with asking for nothing in return.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
and so I think there's something that Shinji is just like, I want to hang out with this dude because he seems to actually like me, not because I'm a pilot, but because of who I am.
Yeah.
Right. Which I feel was purposeful. Like,
oh, for sure.
Or you see.
Yeah, it was.
But. Yeah.
But at the same time, I actually watched part of that episode again because I was just like when I went through it and like we saw what ended up happening, I had to go back and like, was he giving him bad advice? Like, was he saying horrible things? And I listened to it again and I was like, everything he said was the realest. That's why I said that.
I don't think he did.
No, he gave him like the absolute best advice in every single thing he said.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's no way Shinji was understanding what he was saying.
Right.
But it's like, he was giving him like he was like, yo, here's your truth. I know you ain't ready for it, but this is your absolute truth, but let's put it in with a dose of love and maybe a little bit of dick.
Maybe a little bit.
Oh my God.
What, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I mean, he seems like, I'm game. Like,
he was just like, sleeping in the same bed.
This is a new form because he's not necessarily human, right?
Yeah.
He's not.
No. He's not. So this is,
but
this
he
is
did,
not
he,
even.
He didn't, since you can't even didn't be, know that.
No.
But since you can't, that means he can't even be called gay. This is progressive. This is some new shit.
He didn't know. He thought he was amazing.
Yeah, he did.
Shinji is like 14 or 15 at this point. And
you bet
he's confused.
Not.
He's
you
confused about. I think he's. No, I'm saying
not.
Like I think Shinji was confused about literally everything. Because the thing is, he also had like obviously has had moments with a bunch of women where he was embarrassed or shy or like attracted to them. I felt like, you know, I thought so. Like with what's her name? What's her, I can't remember.
I mean, there was a whole scene by the poolside where he's watching like Ray bend over, and he's just like, "All right." He's like watching like Asuka get out of the pool. He's like, "Okay, like I see all this." Like he's
oh, so he just like, yo, he's like one of those androgynous, like just like, yo, it's whatever it is. It's, I'm just
I think
about
he's trying
sex.
To figure out what he likes.
I'd like to, I was just gonna say, if I had to guess, I'd say my man's bi curious.
I could, yeah, I think so.
He's just like, yo, you like me. You know, yeah. Like that's his
I
whole thing.
Please
right
like me. You like yeah. me.
Anybody, okay, whatever
please.
You want.
It sounds more desperate than anything. Like, just yeah. like, if you yeah. like me, I fuck with you. I don't care. You could be a dog. I'll yeah. fuck with you, too. Yeah.
Right. At this point, this kid is.
Pen better look out. You know? Like,
oh. Side note, Pen, I figured out. I thought Ryoti, or whatever his name is, was my favorite character. It's
yeah.
Pen.
Yeah, Pen's the greatest.
Pen's my favorite character.
So, to kind of speed through what ends up happening, like they're running the first test with this new guy, Kaworu, and it turns out like he's got higher like sync levels than anybody, and they're basically figuring out like this dude can just sync with any Ava as much as he wants. Like, what the fuck is up with that?
Yeah.
And Misato starts looking into it, and it turns out that he's having all these secret meetings with Seal, and they're telling him like. They basically confirm that he is the last angel. Yeah. He is a clone of Adam. And they're like, you need to go down into Central Dogma. Down there, they tell him it's Adam, but it's not. It's Lilith, which is a whole other thing.
A whole different thing. Yeah.
And they're just like, you need to go down there and merge with her. And then that will bring about like our whole entire plan.
Right.
So he does that. He goes down into Central Dogma and basically merges. I mean, from outside the Eva with Eva 02. And it's just
which is crazy.
Which is like, all right, let's go get down to it. And then when Shinji finds out that he's the last angel, that fucks with him, and he's just like, you betrayed me. Like, he gets into 01.
You raggedy bitch.
You motherfucker. So he gets in there, and he starts going down, and he's just like, all right, like, let's fight then. And he gets into a fight with Ava 02.
Yeah. And it's... You gotta give him. I mean, he fought the shit out of O2.
Like, yeah, hey, it was a knife fight. Like, yeah, it was up close and personal.
Yeah, he took 1980s knife fight shit.
But I'm just saying, my man took a knife to this because you remember, you know, he has that neurological link to the Eva.
Right. Yeah,
so everything that happens to him, he feels like he took a knife to the chest, and it was still just like, nah.
Yeah,
yeah, that
you gonna feel me.
Yeah. I loved you.
You're gonna feel this pain.
So they get down there and into Central Dogma, and Kaworu basically figures out what's going on. He's just like, this isn't Adam, this is Lilith. He figures out the plan of what Seal's been trying to do this whole time. And he basically turns to Shinji, and he tells him like, dude, basically, you kill me right now, or it's the end of the human race.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll go if you want me to, but you can stop me right now, and I'll let you do it. Mm. And Shinji really struggles with that shit, but at the end of the day, decides to save humanity by popping
killing
his man's head off.
His best like, friend ever.
That shows that he's not a bitch. He killed his future lover.
Yeah,
future lover.
Yo, who is this sitting next to me?
I don't know. I'm not human. That's I'm right. He can't technically like I think Rob said it the best. He pretty much had bitch moments.
He's still a bitch.
I can't.
He's
say
still
that.
A bitch.
These last couple
episodes. That you got to take that in the context of two or three episodes. It's 26 episodes.
Yeah.
80% in these episodes,
he saves the world.
Yeah, he saves the world.
But that's the thing too, and we can talk about it too. Like just because
we ain't got time to talk about it.
No, we've already covered the Shinji bitch experiment. And the only thing that happened in these episodes is that he was proven to be less of whatever it is you think that makes him a bitch.
But that's it. But still, him being a bitch is a bigger picture.
But here's, and I think this feeds into what I was going to say, kind of both with Shinji, Ryoji, with everybody, because these next two episodes are very abstract and experimental, and just like. It basically boils it down to almost like psychoanalysis and almost like a trial of these people as they're ascending into death and just like kind of answering for their life.
Yeah.
Just like, you felt this way, but you did this. Why did you do this? Why did you hurt these people? Mm. Showing people like that they care about their worst moments and just like, look at this. Are you embarrassed for them to see it? Then why did you do it? Sort of shit.
Yeah.
And I just think that this whole thing is kind of about... People are complicated, and you can be a bitch, but you can also man up at the same time. It's people are
it's not binary.
Both things at once. Like, you can be a Me Too dude, but also still love this other girl and be like, I was right to her, but I was wrong to all these other women. Yeah. And just like, you can be this guy that's like, I'm looking out for this to save humanity, but I'm also a trash fucking father. And like, these people kind of exist as
Preach.
The same thing all at once.
I mean,
this walking juxtaposition
I wouldn't probably have got all of that without Rob and I talked earlier and we watched some extra videos and stuff like that. This watching this show, I need therapy. Like, I...
Right?
Like, I actually do therapy. But, like, here's the thing. I was watching shit like this. What the fuck? Right. Like, this was this shit was some, like you said, some psychoanalysis shit. And I was blown away. It's now not worse than Gangsta. Thank God.
I'll take that. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you.
Rob got saved.
Rob. On the finish line, just...
finish line.
I'll take at least that.
Yeah. And this show... I mean,
well, it's like, because there's, I mean, that was basically episode 25 or the last one was all about, like, kind of dealing with the idea that life is pain, and to live life, you have to deal with the bad and the good at the same time, and you have to have both. And if you have just peace, then that's really nothing and equivalent to death. Yeah. And so to accept life is to accept pain, and that's Sinji's ultimate journey, and kind of goes back to the idea that he's always running away from stuff because he wants to feel a life of without pain, but at the end of the day always does choose life and always comes back and chooses to struggle because that is ultimately what life is about.
Right. I want to say this overall for the show, right? Because I was watching this show and I was like, this is just not a good show, and I still don't think it is. I still don't think it's a good show. I wouldn't recommend it. And then I talked to people that have watched the show when it first came out, and then with a lot of times the questions they were asking me was like, oh, this is your first time watching it. I could see why you don't like it, because when I first watched when I was younger, I loved it. I said, okay, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Because how the fuck am I an adult and I'm confused?
Yeah. Right.
And you're a child and you got this shit?
No way.
I don't know. It's not that they got it. It's just probably that they enjoyed the moments that they did.
Probably. Yeah.
Or the fact that they didn't understand it is the reason that they got it, you know, that they enjoyed it.
So, but something else I'll say about it is, well, hold on, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I had something.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that for me, like I was telling you and Keenan this morning, is that I felt that if I was to look at the show overall, first of all, the last two episodes were like just pretty much the breakdown of a psychoanalysis and how that works.
Yeah.
Which, in all honesty, there's no way we can describe that.
Right.
You'll just have to watch that, or hopefully you did watch it if you're listening to us right now. You have to watch it for yourself. It's not easy to watch. It's very uncomfortable. But go ahead.
I remember what I was going to say, and that is, because, I mean, I agree with Keenan on points. I don't think this is a bad show. I would recommend it, not to everybody.
Yeah.
But what I will say, I will not apologize for picking this show. Mm. What I will apologize for is to every Attack on Titan fan that I came at to be like, you shouldn't have to do homework to enjoy a show. Because I had to do so much fucking reading and video watching after this... after this last episode or two, to understand what the fuck was going on.
Bye, y'all. I gotta go. Sorry.
Keenan's got some real work to do, so we'll see you later, man.
He's still a bitch, though.
I'm out of here. That's my outro.
Yeah, whatever. Bye, Keenan.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I mean, and in watching those movies, like, or in those videos, like, the storyline does go on in the movies where it seems like they bring about, like, a more... a bigger conclusion to the overall storyline. Like, Asuka ends up coming back and, like, piloting her Eva again and, like, getting all fucked up. And, like, they fight, like, these last angels because Seal ends up attacking Nerve HQ. But at the end of the day, they kind of get to the same point where Sinji basically has to choose between, do you want everybody to just be okay and, like, feel no more pain? Because it, really what the ultimate plan is, and the difference between Nerve and Seal, is that Seal wants... Adam to merge with Lilith again, which will basically allow for the race of the angels to ascend and reach a higher form. If Lilith or a human or Rey basically merges, then that happens for humanity. Yeah. So that's what ends up happening, is that humanity is basically given that second chance, and all those that choose to want that individuality can then basically regain it. But it does mean choosing a life of struggle and hardship and pain. So at the end of the day, like, I think this was some deep shit. I think this is one of the deepest shows we've watched. One of the deepest shows I've ever watched.
It is. Yeah, I was gonna say, what do you mean we've watched? Like, this.
I mean, next level. I don't think it would have. It should have taken 26 episodes to get here.
Yeah.
I think it took way too long. Mm-hmm. But like, I would definitely compare it to like, if you like things like The Watchmen, if you like things like Twin Peaks, that's going to fuck with your brain. And you're like, I'm willing to take the time to really kind of watch something fucking weird to kind of see some really strange abstract stuff. Then like, maybe this show's for you.
Putting it in the same realm of Watchmen, though, like,
I mean,
disrespectful to
Watchmen. No. Because I think it's similar. No, I mean, I do think Watchmen's way better. Yeah. I prefer Watchmen, but yeah. I think this is...
The graphic novel, not the movie,
yeah,
by the
different.
Way.
I don't think the movie's as bad. I mean, the movie's not great. The graphic novel is the truth. That's the one. But the movie's not as bad as I think a lot of other people think. But so, anyway, I don't know. It's a fucking lot to take in all at once. My brain hurts. All
right, so let me give my take if you don't mind, because I did it earlier and you guys said I explained it pretty well.
Go for it.
But you gotta help, Rob. You're gonna have to help me with like the titles of certain things because
I'll try.
Yeah, you did it earlier, so I was just like, okay, cool. So for me, like I look at this piece, this show as an art piece. Like I said earlier, like to me, this show is like an abstract installation that you have to experience. That's kind of how I look at it because. First of all, I don't think this show was a show that was designed for you to watch and enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think it was meant for you to be uncomfortable, and I think they did a good job. I think it was meant for it to feel unnatural or feel disjointed because that's what they wanted you to feel. Like, this wasn't a show that was designed for you to watch this and be like, that was awesome. This was cool. This is amazing. And that's what we had the expectation of.
Yeah.
Because that's what anime gives us. It's like, typically you watch anime and you want to be the protagonist. You know what I'm saying? Like, or at least one of the, you know, the side protagonists. You know, like, you want to be somebody in that show.
Right.
There is nobody in this show where you're like, I want to be them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like everybody in this show is struggling with, like, real-ass human condition, you know, like, looking at themselves and figuring out what is it that I am and that I want to be and who am I, what makes me happy. And it's just, like, the human condition. That's what the whole show is. It's, like, the human condition. And one of the things that they talk about, I think, in episode 4 was the hedgehog. What's it called? The hedgehog?
Oh, the hedgehog's dilemma.
The hedgehog's dilemma. Do you remember
that? You hurt people that, you know, come close to you.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Well, yes and no. Like, that's, like, a part of it. Because the only reason it's a part of it is because the hedgehog... and this, I feel like this is the best like analogy for this show is that a hedgehog is a mammal and innately likes to be warm and likes to have community. Mm-hmm. But a hedgehog is a spiny creature. Mm-hmm. So the closer that it gets to other hedgehogs, the worse it is for the hedgehog. But the further away that it is from the hedgehogs, the colder and more isolated they are. So it's like, well, what do you pick? It's like we all can become one, but we all lose sense of self. Mm-hmm. And if we all become one and we're just one, there's nothing for us to be able to look at. To be able to differentiate ourselves from anything else. Yeah. So even Shinji says it in the last episode. It was just like, if I am, you know, if I'm the only one, how do I differentiate myself between me and nothing? There is no difference. I become nothing.
Yeah.
If we're all one, we are everything and nothing at the same time, which means there's no individuality. There's no way to do, feel, see. There's nothing. It's just like nothing. Like, what was it like before you were born? It was nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, that's kind of like what the show is saying. It's like, well, what do you pick? You know, like, are you going to say, like, yeah, let's end suffering, but to end suffering, you enjoy. You know, it's like, you can't, you have, it's a duality thing. Like, you can't have one without, you can't not have one without the other. You can't eliminate all the bad things that you believe in life just so that there can be good. It's like, mm-hmm. that, you appreciate the good because there is bad. So for me, like, I'm watching the show and I'm like, you know, every single character in this show is dealing with their own internal conflict and their own reflection of themselves. And the hedgehog's dilemma is perfect for that because it's just like, man. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, everybody kind of deals with their pain in a different way where Shinji isolates himself from others.
Yep.
You know, Asuka is just like, all right, everybody look at me. I'm going to bury my insecurity with attention and wanting people to like me. You have Ryoji who basically just chases sex and like more physical good feelings.
Yep.
Same with Misato who kind of pursues vice and drinking and just like partying to get away from her problems. Like everybody has something that they do to try and escape the pain of the fact that they feel lonely.
And Shinji's like, dad is like, I think he's kind of like all of the above.
A little bit.
You know, after you know, he changed after Shinji's mom died. After he died.
Yeah.
And that shows, too, why he likes Rei more than his own son, because Rei was made in the, you know, the creation of his mom. Like, you know, you know, it's like a base from, you know, it came from his mom. So that's why he likes her more.
But it's so funny, though. It's like, but your son came from you, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So. Well, he even says at one point, like, when they're about to clone Rei again or activate the third clone, he's just like, she is basically the product of my despair. Mm-hmm. Like, he created her because he was depressed about his wife disappearing.
So right. I have a question. So we know he's fucked up, right?
Oh, no.
Rob instantly knew I was going with that. I'm just saying, like,
God, I hope not.
He's fucking moms and daughters.
God, I fucking hope
no,
not.
No way.
I'm just, I hope not too. But I'm just saying, like, would you put it past him?
I
would you put it past him?
I guess not.
Just think about him. Would you put it past him?
If in the body type, the body type is a lot older. Those ones that
I 100% get it, but look,
bigger,
but
older.
Look. But look at like the living conditions he put her in. He's like, I created her, but now she's still like her apartment looks just like the place she was born, which looks like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like shit. So it's just like, if he doesn't care about her to the level of that's where she lives and that's how she puts her up and that's how he allows her to suffer through life, what does he care about the use of her body? Because he's been using other women's bodies throughout the whole show.
Yeah. And I guess he can rationalize it like she's not real.
Yeah. So back to like 10,000 foot view of the show. I think there's a lot of different ways. I think this show is meant to be interpreted in a lot of different ways. Like, you can go the theology route, which I was telling Rob and Keenan earlier, is that that's one thing I'm really ignorant of, is I don't know that much about theology, especially when it comes to like Judaism and things like that. And there's a lot of Judaism in this show. Like, there's a lot of it. Like, the names, all the, I knew that when we were watching.
Yeah,
it.
All the angels are.
Yeah, all the
for,
names
like,
of the angels
Jewish
and the names
angels.
Of the magi. Yeah. You know, all that is based in Judaism. And I don't know much about that, but I do know that if you were to go into it and see like the motives and like what happens with each one of those, you know, characters or names, it's like it's associated with what's associated in that religion.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot is drawn from theology in the show, but then there's also a lot drawn from just the understanding of like what's it called? We were talking about it earlier. It's not people who think for a living. What is it?
Oh, philosophers?
Philosophy. Mm-hmm. So like, they drew a lot from, because they took theology and philosophy, which obviously has some overlap, but they were like taking straight up like Freudian theories and things like that and like exploring them in the show. Like the hedgehog thing I was talking about is that's what this is. You know, it's like, it's a combination of all these things. So like for me, this is probably like one of the smartest pieces of content I've watched. And that's also a juxtaposition for me, because normally I'm not watching content to be smart. You know, like I watch anime to enjoy it objectively and just be like, that was awesome. Or like, that was, you know, like these moments where you don't expect somebody to overcome anything. And the only overcoming that happened in the show was Shinji saying like, I'd rather feel than not feel. That's really what came down. I'd rather us be individuals. I'd rather be myself than be all. Yeah, as I want to be a real boy, like you said. So it's just like, it was pretty, it's a mind fucked.
Yeah.
A mind fucked, but it was a purposeful one. So for me, I can't say this show was trash. And the reason I can't say that is because it was exactly as the people who made it intended to be. And it gives you the exact feeling and the exact discussions they want you to have. Would I say this is an anime that somebody should watch? Yo, this is your first anime? Hell
fuck no.
No. God
no.
But if I met somebody that's just like always in their internally in themselves and like questioning humanity and their existential existence,
I wouldn't recommend that to them either.
I would.
Gonna even
it's going to send them down like a crazy depression spiral. I feel like the ending here was hopeful.
Yeah, that's
way.
What I said. I think it ends on an uptick. Like,
but
it doesn't.
It took you 24 episodes.
I wouldn't say
it took
it's
a long
positive.
Time to get there.
But at the same time, like the first 20 episodes aren't necessarily depressing. They're more so just like, huh. We that's what we did the whole time. We were just like, there's so much we don't understand.
Yeah.
There's more going on. What is this?
Yeah.
You know, that's what we get. And then when we finally start to understand what it is, we're like, oh, this is depressing as shit.
Yeah.
And then like at the end, it's like it ends like you said, on the uptone where it's just like, yeah, this is depressing as shit, but this is where we are. This is who we are. And this is why it's okay to be, because if we're not being, then we're nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you can easily make that into a positive argument.
I feel like so.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I want to hear the thoughts of the guy that texted us last night that said, yo,
fuck this show. Yeah.
I still feel the same. I feel like how you feel about it, I understand it.
Yeah,
and I
fair.
Get it. Like, both of you guys, where you're coming from. Like I said in the previous episode, both of you guys are very intelligent people. And a lot of the people that appreciate this, not saying that I'm not intelligent, I am.
No, I get what you're saying.
You guys are going to appreciate it. No. Whatever. You guys are going to appreciate it maybe more than I would, but I get what you're saying. I saw a lot of those theories. I did some of that research, too, to help me appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Is it gangster level? No. Is it trash? Yes. I feel like this anime is a trash-ass anime, just because I can't – not that I can, I don't want to say I can't evolve as a person and look at stuff differently, but it's like – I can't go hard on Samurai Champloo for being as long as it is and having those dull moments and be boring and not do the same with this one. Mm-hmm. And not saying it's cookie cutter or like I got to have the same perspective. My perspective can change. But looking at it, it's like I get what you're saying. But if all of this is muddled in 26 episodes and you can keep it. You can keep it. Like, I'd rather watch Samurai Champloo again twice over before I watch this again, just because even with all of that, I didn't. It didn't resonate with me to do that. And I've dealt with, you know, personal issues and stuff like that. And I'm not saying you got to be a demented or a depressed person to appreciate this, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm too bored to appreciate it.
And I get that, because, like, kind of looking back, like, there are certainly episodes where I'm just like, I would have gotten to the same thing without having seen this. Like,
right. I agree with that.
The fact that, like, that whole volcano episode.
Right.
Like, you could rip that right out and
nothing changes.
Yeah. Nothing changes.
And it's the same thing I said with Samurai Shampoo. It's like, I'm too bored to appreciate the blind man, the blind girl fight. I'm too bored to appreciate the ending of it.
Hold on. Wait. You can't say you're too bored to appreciate the blind girl fight. That shit was amazing.
No, it was hard.
That was
incredible. I'm saying, but
that episode arc. Are you kidding me?
It was dope. Don't get me wrong. It was dope, and it was a
how's it dope and boring?
But it was still, like I said, I'm too bored of the overall show to appreciate this. Because it's just like, okay.
I don't understand your argument.
No, it is.
Because I think he's saying you just don't care about the characters at this point. So, like, you're watching it, and you're just like, I mean,
this
kind of like
cool.
What Keenan was saying, where he's like, I'm rooting for the end of the world at this point.
Yeah. You know? And then the thing, too, is just like watching a basketball game and somebody getting blown out, but somebody do a windmill. It's like, okay, like, that shit was hard, but, like, that don't do nothing for me.
I don't really care about the windmill dunks and garbage time.
Right. So that's the thing. Versus you watching a back and forth show, and then somebody, you know, the team is down, but then he dunks it, and then it changed the whole momentum of the game. It's like, oh, shit, that was a regular-ass dunk, but it got everybody hype, and it changed the course of the game. This is, like I said, it's a windmill and garbage time. And the points that you're, you know, that are pretty dope, it's like, I don't care about the characters enough to, when they have these internal struggles, that I'm actually like, it resonates with me.
Yeah,
I get where you're coming from.
Sure.
And I see all of the theology and the philosophy stuff. I get it. But it's over 26 episodes, and it's a hike to get through all of those, to wherein I even see that I'm like, okay. And even when y'all put stuff in perspective, and it was like Adam and Eve and stuff, like all the undertones, the biblical undertones, the religious undertones that it has, fucking amazing. And I was going to put it above Gangster even without that stuff, just for other
things. It's so easy to put anything above Gangster, though.
Like, it is.
It's like, did it breathe? Yeah. Does it have a
Gangster's still the basement.
Yeah. Right.
Always going to be the basement.
And it has a from a cohesive standpoint, it keeps it together, and then you got to that by itself is going to be better than Gangster. Makes it better than Gangster in my book.
Yeah.
But would I recommend it? No. Is it? But I feel the same way about A Cure. Like, they have some deep undertone things, and you can see bits and pieces of it that have had a big place in other animes. But those other animes that it influenced are much better than A Cure.
So what I think is interesting is, like, a lot of times when I'm watching content, because I'm a content creator, I like to think about having conversations with the people who created it. In this show particularly, I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah,
right?
You know, like, I don't want to talk to them. Like, I don't think we have anything to talk about. Like we could talk about the show. Nah.
I'm more interested in talking to people that like it and trying to figure out why do they like it.
I'm not.
I'm just saying, if you had me, if I had to choose.
No, I don't give a fuck about talking to you.
I don't give a fuck about talking to
this show hurts
one of those
people. This show hurts my brain. Because
I mean, at the end of the day, I would say I liked the show, but it was a hard journey. That's why I say, like, I would recommend it, but not to everybody.
You have to earn it in this show. It's like, you have to earn it. Like you said, like, how many times have you watched an anime that required you, or anything in your life that required that you go and do a research afterwards?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I had to do it. Everybody had to do it. Like, we couldn't understand what we just went through without finding some other form of, like, supplementary research, which, interestingly enough to me, is the show came out during a time when the internet wasn't around.
Right. So you were just left up to your own
devices. Like, I guess I got to go to the library and start reading these books. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, I don't understand, like, this theology. I don't understand the psychology.
The little bit of reading that I was doing is apparently Lilith is, like, an ancient figure in, like, ancient Jewish texts that was, like, this woman that was created at the same time as Adam to be his first wife.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to be subjugated to Adam, didn't want to follow his rules. And so she willingly left the Garden of Eden and became basically the mother of demons. Mm. And so apparently they're saying in this show that all of humanity is descended from Lilith, which is why we have an emptiness. We're imperfect because we're not from God.
Right.
Like, where Adam is. Adam is a perfect thing, but Lilith is not. And so, like, yeah, there's so many fucking layers to this.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I'm not intrigued. Granted, I did research just for the show, but I'm not
I don't care about this show enough to do research. Like, yeah. If I was just watching it to watch it, I wouldn't fucking finished it. But also, if I have some reason I had to finish it, I wouldn't have gone and done extra research if I wasn't doing this show.
Yeah.
That, and just because I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care enough to do research. There will never be a point where I'm chilling and I'll go on YouTube and be like, Neo Genesis battle.
No,
I do that all the time with so many shows.
Well, you probably wouldn't find it. Though, I mean, like Neon, but
yeah.
But I mean,
no, it's Neo.
I think no, it's Neon Genesis.
Whatever.
Well, anyway, but like
you double down. Though, that's the best part.
But like at the end of the day, I was even thinking about it because we've been talking about like, oh man, these angels, like they get built up and then the fights are nothing, and it's like, well, the fights kind of aren't the point
right. At all.
Yeah,
at all. So or it's like, so yeah, I get that. And like, yeah. I wouldn't look up a fight from the show either.
Yeah,
like the one time they had a crazy fight is like. Kind of disturbing in a way. You're like, I don't know if I want to watch that again.
Yeah, you know?
It's like creepy as shit. You know, I think it's, even if somebody put together a montage of all the action moments from the show and just said that was the, like, just like, watch this video, I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to relive a lot of it.
But whoever cut that trailer for this, they deserve all the money in the world.
They did a great job with the trailer.
Yeah, they did. It's like, yo, you like anime? Yeah. You like giant robots? You like drama?
Yeah.
You want to see a different version of the world?
Yeah.
2015?
Like, you want to look inside yourself? Which, it took a long time, but what I said initially about this show came to be true. It's like, yo, this shit is going to fuck with my feelings. And
yeah.
It didn't because I didn't care, but I can see how it could have if you really, looked into it like people, I can see how it can resonate with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really haven't stopped thinking about it since I finished watching it because I'm just like, there's a lot of shit to that. Like, I don't know. It's something worth considering. And it even remember the last episode is like the beast that shouted I at the heart of the world. And that reminded me of like this other story I had read that I think had a similar title. I think it was The Beast That Shouted Love at the Heart of the World. Mm-hmm. And it was this whole idea of a similar thing where it was a sci-fi story where people were driven insane and doing these awful things to humanity, but for the same reasons, to be like, you can't have the good things without the struggle. So it was like this story about a guy that had poisoned a whole bunch of people, but he said he did it out of love because he was trying to spread bad things so that people would appreciate the good things. Yeah. And it's like, that's a whole other level of fucked up too. You know?
Yeah. Like, you're crazy.
I mean, I don't know.
Have you seen, I know you've seen it. Have you seen Devilman Crybaby?
No, but I thought, like, the little bit that we watched,
because
we watched the last fight scene for one of our other, like, random episodes, and I was like, you know what, I bet Devilman Crybaby is a lot like this.
Yeah. But it's better.
Yeah.
I'd say Devilman Crybaby is...
That's what I was going to ask, is what you think is better, because
Devilman Crybaby's better.
Undertones.
Well, the Devilman Crybaby had better action, for sure.
Yeah.
It also... I think Devilman Crybaby wasn't as deep, but it still was extremely deep.
And it had those same type of undertones.
Yeah, exactly. Especially theology.
Yeah.
Especially theology. But, I mean, Devilman Crybaby, I'd say fuck with me more than this show did.
Yeah.
Because
it was shorter.
It was much shorter, and you actually did care about the protagonist. And the Devilman Crybaby, at the end of this show, it's not necessarily a flip. Where it's just like, oh, like, I didn't see anything coming. It's more so like, it's just like, okay, I have a greater understanding of what's been going on.
Right.
Whereas the Devilman Crybaby at the end of it, it's like a whole flip.
Yeah.
That just like, you're just like, whoa.
And then they have those angels and demons and all that stuff and saying like, they like punch you in the face with that, theology and religion and stuff like that.
And I mean, on the other hand, like, I almost feel like, while that trailer was good in getting us interested in being like, oh, you know, like maybe the show is going to like, it's going to go hard. Like, it's going to be interesting. Like, I almost feel like I kind of did a disservice in setting up our expectations of what this show was going to be. I feel like I would have watched it totally differently had I known the directions this was going
to
take.
I have a question, Rob.
Yeah.
If you can go right now back to your previous self and say, like, you're like, I decided that I'm going to pick this show. Like, when you're at home, whenever you decided that, would you be like, hey, man, you probably shouldn't do that?
Honestly, I might change that.
Out of curiosity, because it's just like, I mean, I'm not mad that we're here. We did it. This is an experience that we had together, a collective experience.
Me too. It almost tore us apart at times, but I think we're stronger because of it. No, I think I would still choose it if I could go back, because I do think it's super interesting.
Would you set the expectation differently?
Yes.
Yeah.
How
100%. How would you set that expectation?
I would probably just say, like, listen, this isn't a regular like action anime show where you're going to be like, man, the fights are crazy, but like there is a journey that's happening that is consistent throughout, that's more about the human condition and how we deal with pain and how we deal with loneliness and how there is something inside human beings just like intrinsically that makes us lonely and want to be different and better. And just to look at it more philosophically rather than being like, yo, some robots are going to fight. Because, like, there's a difference between this show and probably, and literally everything else where it's just like, oh, like, Goblin Slayer is about a dude slaying a bunch of goblins. Right. Like, you take it at face value.
Yeah, like, he was traumatized by goblins. Now he's going to go kill goblins.
Yeah, so. Because, like, I mean, one of the videos that I think you and I watched together, Brennan, like, they even say, like, the title, you break down the title, it even is just, like, a retelling of the story of Genesis.
Yeah.
Or, like, a new Genesis for humanity. And that's really what this is, a new beginning. And so, I don't know, it's I would still pick it, but I would certainly set it up differently.
Yeah. And it gave us, and you know, like Brennan always says, it gave us good talking points.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot to fucking say about it, that's for sure.
I don't feel like I have anything else to say about it. That's where I'm at right now. I'm just like, you know what? I think if you're going to watch this show, I that's the whole reason I asked that question, is that what Rob just said is a really important way to look at it. And if you've been watching along with us,
I know it's been a struggle for some.
It's been real. It's been.
I get that.
Most.
It's been a struggle for me at times.
Yeah.
That 5-episode stretch of like the Those second last, or third week was tough.
Yeah, oh, wait, actually, rough. I do have one other thing I want to talk about.
All right.
How hard was it to get through the last 2 episodes for you?
It wasn't so bad for me, actually, because I was interested in like how meta it was getting and just being like, does Gendo know that he's on a TV show and that by defeating the last angel, like they are literally breaking down into like going back into nothingness? And the idea that as they're disassociating from their individual selves, like the animations get more and more simplistic. And the idea that the
I like the watercolor version.
Yeah, it was just was like, tight. Well, it, like even seeing that other version of them of just being like, you can exist in several other different universes in different ways. Like here is the show as like a slice of life comedy. And it's like that was,
and they had him as adults too.
I thought the one part that was really interesting to me was like when he was just floating in a void and then his dad was like, here, and gave him a plane, is like, there you go.
Yeah.
Reality. Now you have something to go against. Like, and then somebody was like, but you lost your freedom.
But you lose something. Yeah.
Yeah, to gain something, you always must lose something. And for me, that's just like a great lesson in life, is like, whatever you get, you must lose. Like,
everything's got a cost.
Everything has balance. And if you don't find balance, like, it's life will find it for you.
Yeah.
Equivalent exchange. Yeah.
Equivalent exchange. Yeah.
Yo, that's the title of this episode, Equivalent Exchange. You got that, Cam? Equivalent Exchange. That's it. Because, I mean, that's what this whole show is. It really shows that equivalent exchange, the hedgehog, everything comes back to equivalent exchange one way or another. And that shit is sad because there was a lot of.
It's bittersweet.
A lot of exchange.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
That's life, man.
All right, well, how can y'all be found? Like, where can we find you, Rob?
You can find me, RV Danger on Instagram, RV Danger 44 on Twitter for all this really weird metaphysical shit.
Right. Ice?
His page reflects none of that.
None. That's none.
That's absolutely true.
Please encourage him to be more.
I never post. I'm almost never posting, but I appreciate all the new followers. I try to throw something out every once in a while. Like, all right, I'll retweet this. This is funny.
Just for the record, if you follow Rob on Instagram, just send him a message and ask him to post more. He'll do it.
Yeah.
If you ask Rob, if you're looking for content from him, he'll do it. He just won't do it because we ask him to.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about us.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, who cares that?
He's like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Like, tell him that you care and then he'll care.
He'll care. He has good conversations in the comments. I just be going on random anime comments and here he is just
he's just there.
Fucking thesis.
Here's
on,
a book.
Right? Yeah. What
you
about
can
you,
find
Ice?
Me,
where you at?
The Eye Exam, THEIYEXAM.
Hey.
Brennan?
And I'm at Mr. Producer Face on the gram. That's the easiest way to find me. I will say is that we're going to have our next episode is probably going to be a standalone where we do some form of debate. And I think next up, arguably, is my pick
what the next anime
will be. So I haven't decided anything on that yet.
Lord help us.
you don't have any ground to stand on, Goblin Slayer.
What is he, 1-1?
You don't have anything to say. I'm just saying, like, you can make an argument between Goblin Slayer and Shampoo, and I don't know.
No way. No.
Okay. Either way. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Animation. See you next time.
And so anime was solved forever.